I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for Confirm or Deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
Okay. I can't confirm or deny. We're about to play a little confirm or deny. Dave, you've had, the pleasure. Is it a pleasurable experience for you playing confirm or deny? Can you confirm that or would you deny it?
It is both a pleasure and a privilege, I can confirm.
Okay, good. Good to hear that. We all know the way this works. Like every other game we play, we'll make a statement, either confirm that it will happen or we deny that it's going to happen. It's very simple. And we'll begin with one that I think this is a good one. This is a quality start, okay, with this new CBA that appears to be on the verge of being signed off on and ratified between the NHL and the NHLPA. It's going to allow for the players in the NHL to return to the Olympics. So in 2022 in China, they'll be there. In 2026 in Italy, they'll be there. Confirm or deny, the United States of America will win a gold medal at one of the next two Olympic Games.
It pains me to say this, Hayes, but I'm going to have to confirm that. I think they're going to be tough to beat, man. I think they will win one of those two. I'm a Canadian. I hate seeing the Americans do well in anything, generally. Although I've got many American friends, and I really have nothing against them. It's just sort of bred into me, right?
Yeah.
It's been bred into me to cheer against the Americans in hockey. But you got to respect them. And I think, you know, we had that conversation with Ryan Callahan earlier in the show. You look at this young generation. Their development program is absolutely hitting it out of the park. Austin Matthews, Patrick Kane in his waning years. You go on down the list, man. This is a formidable foe, and you got to believe they're going to get one over eventually.
Yeah, they scare me. I will deny it, though, just because of the field. You know, like I might have a difficult time. Canada, I think, will win one of the next two golds. I wouldn't confirm that they're going to win both of them. I think, you know, there's just too many quality teams out there, the U.S. being one of them, that have just improved dramatically. When you consider where the States was in 2014, where Van Riemsdyk was on the team and Kessel, and they're good players.
I mean,
legitimately good players. But now you look at their roster with Kane, with Matthews, with Wheeler, with Eichel. You've got Goudreau. The list is long. They've got a better defense than Canada.
Yeah.
And I think their goaltending, if Connor Hellebuyck is going to prove, okay, he's the man now, Ben Bishop, their goaltending, I think, is on par with the Canadian goaltending. So I do think the States is going to be right there, but you got to include Sweden. You have to include Finland. Even the Russians, at the international level, they don't have a great history in the past, four or five Olympics, but they still have a ton of talent. So I'm going to deny it just more so because of the field, but it's close. Because if you look at their lineup and their projected lineup for what they're going to look like in 2022, the States is loaded. I think Canada is still more talented, but U.S. is number two for me, just based on talent.
No doubt.
If you look at the projections, they're loaded with it.
Yeah, you look at their back end. You know, they got the guy who's the favorite to win the Vezina and Hellebuyck in goal. Mm-hmm. They got the guy who's the favorite to win the Norris, John Carlson, on defense. He's 32 years old, but he's still
really good.
Really getting better, it seems. This is going to be a tough team to beat, man.
Yeah,
they're
going to be really tough. Really, really tough. And I'm very happy that it looks like we're going to get there again. International hockey's got to be a part of the program. It has to.
It's so exciting.
It's the best. You have to have it, man. Like our whole history is steeped in references of 72 and 76 and 87 and 91 and even 96 when the Americans beat us in the World Cup. You know, in 98. Go down the list. It's just you have to have it. And every generation deserves it. Not just the players, but the fans. You know, if you're a younger fan, you don't even if you're 20 years old, you don't really remember 2010.
No.
The golden goal. You don't really remember You're that right. whole ride.
You need every generation needs it. You're right.
Yeah.
When it's every 4 years. I mean, and you look at how legacies are defined by it. Like, we just saw Jerome Iginla go in the Hall of Fame. And what did we talk about? You know, he was a no-brainer Hall of Famer. But we talked about his two performances in the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
You know, the making the Iggy assist on the Crosby goal in 2010, and then the two-goal game in 2002 when he was a young guy who just made the team by the skin of his teeth and then had an incredible performance in a breakout kind of way for that Canadian team that broke through in Salt Lake. So,
big time.
And those are kind of the bookends of his incredible career, right? In a lot
of ways. In many
ways,
yeah. You're right. Yeah, in many ways, you're right. Because I think, you know, too, he was playing on that line with Lemieux and Correa, I believe.
Exactly.
And, you know, Yzerman was kind of in and out, but he was injured a lot. Like, Iginla, you're right. That was a launching pad. And 2 years later, he was the best player in the world in 04, 05.
Oh, exactly.
And 2010, he's on the ice with Sid, as he pointed out. So, yeah, it allows players to make their mark. And I can't wait to get back there. All right, confirm or deny, Cam Newton will start every game for the Pats this season, assuming they're going to play all 17.
Have to deny that, just based on Cam Newton's injury history into his 30s now. There's got to be a reason, right? Like, Belichick's smart, and the Patriots are the gold standard of pro sports franchises, Hayes. I totally agree with those two statements, but... You know, there's a reason why none of the other teams were on this guy, right? And I have to believe, from what I've read and what you hear, that a lot of it is the injury history that gives the red flags, right?
Yeah.
And therefore, which is why, you know, the only guarantee Cam Newton was able to secure was a $500,000 guarantee with the Patriots, which has an upside of, you know, $7.5 million in incentives if he plays really well. And as you point out, if we did confirm this and he started every game, he'd get something in the range of that $7.5 million. But, yeah, so I'm just going to have a hard time believing that every other NFL team was out to lunch on this and that he's going to be perfectly healthy for 17 games.
Yeah, I have to deny it as well, just based on his history. I think he's going to play a large majority of the starts. I think as of now, the job is his.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's not truly battling it out with Jarrett Stidham, especially if they're not going to play any preseason games.
Right.
So you're not going to have an opportunity for a guy like Stidham to pick up some momentum and start looking so good in camp. I think they're going to have to hammer away with Cam taking first-team reps, and it's even more important for him to do that because he's not familiar with the playbook, not familiar with the offense and the coordinator and the coach. So I think it's Cam's job, but his injury history would tell you if he starts 14 games, it's a win.
Yes.
And also, you got to throw in COVID in all this. As crazy as that sounds, I mean, I'm not sure you should be betting on any player getting through 17 weeks in kind of a cesspool that is a locker room. So,
to put it kindly,
I've got to deny that as well. As much as, you know, I'm a Cam fan. I think he's a fascinating figure. I think he's a good player. I think he's been underrated in his past few years because of the injuries. He hasn't played, and all of a sudden, his resume has taken a hit retroactively, which I think is unfair. But I can't commit to him playing every single game. Confirm or deny, at least one MLB hitter, one big league hitter, finishes the 60 game schedule batting 400 or better.
I'm going to confirm that. I mean, we've seen it, right? It's happened many times where guys get off to, you know, flaming hot starts and they're batting 400 for quite some time. I mean, we haven't really focused on it, right? Because batting average is a stat that has been degraded in the minds of many, right? But I think this year, because it's, 37% of a 162-game schedule in this 60-game sprint, for sure it's possible, and I think it could be a fun little watch as the season goes on if you've got one of the better hitters in the game flirting with 400.
I'm going to deny it just because of it feels like such an impossibility. Like, we have not seen it since Ted Williams. Like,
for 162, right? For 162.
I hear you, but like even in the shortened season, I think Tony Gwynn was like sniffing around 400.
Right.
I believe when they shut it down in 94, I think he was hitting like 396 or
right.
something. And even with the Jays, remember Olerud was up around 400 there for a while in the early 90s. But it's just like 400, I don't care how much we've downgraded or downplayed the importance of batting average, it's still a tangible number that has not been touched in, 70 years?
Right.
Like, when did Teddy Baseball hit 400? And he barely hit 400.
I know.
Like, he was hitting 580. You know, yes. It's so tough to do. Hitting 400 over 20 games is tough.
Yes.
60 games when I don't know what kind of spring training you're going to get. And I guess that can swing both ways. But usually the arms are ahead of the bats.
Fair point. That's actually a good point. You're right. The pitchers are usually a little bit ahead. But there have been a lot of guys who have done it through 60 games. I was reading up a bit on this. Like Larry Walker did it 1 year. I know Joey Votto has hit 400 through 60 game through a 60 game span.
Yes.
Yeah, through, but not out of the gate, not the first 60, but through a 60 game span. Joey Votto has done it in his career. Andrew McCutchen's done it in his career. I think Jose Altuve's done it a couple times in his career where he's had 60 game spans,
okay,
batting over 400. So there's been a few guys that have done it, which is I'm intrigued by this. I want it. This would be
so
something
do
I'd
I.
Be
I'd love to see it.
I'd be excited.
Oh, I'd love to see it. It'd be great. Yeah. I mean, baseball records have been so tarnished in past years because of PEDs and roids. No one's going to claim PED use when you're batting 400.
Exactly.
If you're smacking singles around, no one's thinking about what you're doing when you're away from the field.
Totally.
So I'm all for it, although that would be the ultimate asterisk. Like, you wouldn't truly be able to count it.
No, you can't count it, but it would still be a feat of something.
It'd be something to track. Yeah, sure. if you get to game 50 and some guy's hitting 405, like, okay, let's see what he can do. You start working out the math, how many more at bats he's going to get. Then you start, the debate will come up: should he sit the last two games and just hold it?
Yeah, like George 400? Brett did that 1 year, right? George Brett did that. I was a kid during that.
That was a bit greasy.
That bothered me.
Yeah, I'm not going to go out there and strike out and adjust my numbers
to win the batting title. I'm sitting tight.
Yeah. Confirm or deny, a Canadian team will make it to the NHL's conference final. The final four will feature at least one Canadian team.
This is a good one. I'm going to have to be optimistic here. With two Canadian hub cities, the light is shining on Canada this year,
yep,
is it not? If Gary Bettman has to acknowledge that Canada is the best place to play hockey, I'm sure very grudgingly.
Must paint him.
Gritting his teeth. But if that's happening, the things are looking up for Canada, Hayes. So I'm going to have to say confirm there will be a Canadian team in the Final Four, and I'm going to say it's the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, there you go. Dave Feschuk going out on a limb and dropping a name on that mic drop. I like it. Okay, I'm going to confirm as well. Just based on the odds would indicate that that's what will happen.
Sure.
There's six Canadian teams playing. There's 24 teams left. Do the math. So that would indicate at least one of them will be there in the Final Four. I also think that it's going to be a very random run here. Like, it's random at the best of times in terms of just how difficult it is to predict. The parity is there, but I think the parity is going to get squeezed together that much more in a tournament like this without fans, hub cities, shorter camp, no build up, everything is in front of you for a completely just undetermined, unpredictable type of run. So I wouldn't be shocked if you had a couple of Canadian teams.
Sure.
Into the Final Four, because that's exactly what would happen. None of the six Canadian teams are great teams,
no,
or proved that through 70 games. They really didn't. Like, based on the points percentage, Edmonton was the best team, and I don't think Edmonton is the best Canadian team.
They're not the deepest.
That's
for sure.
But I can't sit here and say the Leafs were overly impressive. They weren't. Winnipeg wasn't. Calgary wasn't.
No.
But Vancouver.
Winnipeg, you look at Winnipeg, like Hellebuck, could steal multiple series for you.
Even though their
defense is questionable, but they got a goaltender who bails them out again and again. Edmonton, I guess if you're thinking that offense and speed will be at a premium and at a time when systems and defense will be a little shaky, they got
They need their special teams, though. That was the biggest difference year over year.
Good point.
At their special teams. They were last time I checked, they were, I believe, top five in both power play and penalty kill.
Yes.
So it was a combination of the big boys doing what they were doing. They added some more talent, some more speed. They stayed relatively healthy. But their special teams were off the charts.
Yeah, totally agree. Yeah, and you wonder, what does the break do to the power play that was humming, right? Who knows? I mean, maybe teams will revamp their power play because they want to throw their first-round opponent a curveball.
I would hope that that's going to happen in some capacity with every team in the league. You're going to do something a little bit different.
You'd have to believe.
Yeah, you've had 4 months to figure something out.
Seriously, get the clipboard out and draw a few things up, man.
Yeah, make a change and commit to it. All right, final one. Confirm or deny, Zion Williamson will win an MVP in one of his first 5 years in the NBA.
Oh, man. I would love for this to happen because nothing makes me happier than watching Zion Williamson play basketball because he's an absolute one-off. So I'm going to confirm this. I think Zion is such a force and such a joy to watch that even if he's not the best player in the league at any given moment, that he could win an MVP based on the narrative, right? Like, because I'm sure he's going to have battles with injuries, and I'm sure he's going to, and that's the main fear, is that the injuries will be the thing that shortens this guy's career in a way that will really be sad, because he's such a force that puts so much absolute force on his joints and his body with the power he generates, that maybe he's just too strong for his own body. That seems to be the prevailing sentiment, but I want it to happen, so I'm speaking it into existence here.
Right. Yeah, I'm going to confirm it because I think New Orleans has done a spectacular job.
Yeah.
Like, it's David Griffin, I believe, the GM down there.
Yeah, smart dude.
When you consider what he's accumulated in such a short term, them winning the lottery was huge, so you get Zion. But the deal that they made with the Lakers for Anthony Davis was an absolute haul. They've got more and more picks coming. They've got a bunch of young players who are quality players. Like, I know people have sold Lonzo Ball down the river, and they
can play.
He can play, man. There's a reason they're almost there even without Zion this year. Like, they're 3.5 out. They're not going to make it. But I think if Zion was healthy and was playing from the hop, they probably would be in. So I think you're looking at a team that is moving in the right direction, and they're still going to have that, wow, that's surprising. New Orleans is winning 53 games. How'd they do that? Oh, Zion Williamson. Like, that's how you win your MVP.
Yeah, that's a great point. Narrative.
You know, you accumulate all this buzz because it's a shock your team is doing what they're doing, even though maybe we should have seen it coming. And then if you're the big boy, you're the face that everyone loves anyway, you're going to get a lot of votes floated your way. So I'm going to confirm it.
Yeah, I think we're thinking along the same lines there. I'd love to see it. I mean, I know people have scoffed at the idea they've let some of these teams into this thing, and I know people have scoffed at the idea that they did it solely to get Zion Williamson back on TV, but I'm all for it, man.
Like, that's why they did it, yeah.
I want to see this kid play as much as possible. He is such a unique individual player that... And he's such a great kid, too. Like, everything you hear
about
the
way... Easiest guy to like. The most marketable young player in sports right now is Zion Williamson.
What a teammate and what a community guy he is, and what a great citizen he is. And, he's the complete package, and it's hard not to root for a guy with all those qualities.